Hence, Aristotle also suggests, by way of practical advice, that one get to a certain clarity with regard to one's self-love and this willingness to look out for the good of others, precisely because it's so easy for us to deceive ourselves in this matter. And so in maintaining friendships, just as in dissolving them, his practical advice is that we take a good, earnest, hard look at ourselves and what our motives are and what the loves that we have are, so as to be clear about what it is that we're seeking in a given relationship, and therefore, thereby, we will be able to take note of what it is we must support above all, and therefore maintain and deepen in the course of a friendship. Now, once one mentions a term like self-love, I think that immediately the great philosophical questions occur in the course of this discussion, because, if anything, self-love can sound to us as though it is something that is selfish. And yet one hears, even in a religious context, that the second great commandment is to love one's neighbor as oneself. And so I think there's a suggestion is that there's nothing intrinsically selfish about this, but rather a suggestion, for instance, in that religious commandment, that proper love of one's neighbor will flow precisely from a proper, not a disordinate, love of oneself. Well, so too for Aristotle. He is deeply alert that friendship is based on a self-love as well as on a willingness to look out for the good of the other. And so he offers, in a manner that is very reminiscent of the phrase love your neighbor as yourself, he urges that one has to have a sufficient self-regard precisely in order to be able to share one's love and one's affection with others in the manner typical of good friendships. If, for instance, one's own self-love were excessive or, on the other hand, deficient in either of the ways that was so typical of Aristotle's analysis of any virtue, he thinks that one's readiness to look out for the good of one's neighbor will tend to be affected. So, for example, if one's own self-love is so enormous, it may well blind us and make us unable to look out for the good of the other. Or alternatively, if one's self-esteem is so low, one may find oneself so inclined to flattery, so inclined to being a sycophant, that one's regard for the good of the other will be so high in proportion precisely as one's own esteem is so low. Again, I have found relatively, you know, with some frequency over the course of years, that you will sometimes find people who love to be generous, and yet they have a difficult time even receiving things on their own. They're just unwilling to take. And it's always important, I think, to help that person to learn how to love self as much as to love others. There's a very appropriate balance here, and I think Aristotle is on to something very important in bringing out this point as a practical point in maintaining good and healthy friendships. He offers a point that I think is probably connected to the heritage that Aristotle found from his teachers Plato and Plato's teacher Socrates. Namely, Aristotle maintains here at this point in Book 9 that the goodwill that is involved in friendship is really the result of feeling both a poverty as well as a plenty. This was a point that Plato had attributed to Socrates in the course of the Symposium. And you see here Aristotle, in very much the same vein, urging that one can only be a friend if one acknowledges one's own poverty and one's own plenty. That is, one will have to have something to give, have to have a plenty on which to draw, precisely in order to provide the pleasure or provide the utility, let alone to provide the friendship of excellence that one will have, hopefully, with at least a treasured few. But likewise, one will also have to have a certain sense of need, a certain sense of poverty, the fact that one cannot live, as the proverb has it, as an island, but rather that one needs the communion of others, whether be the kind of communion that is the mere friendship of pleasure when one has people with whom one likes to go out and do things, that one certainly is in need of various services that have to be performed for the aid and comfort in life, the friendships of utility, and especially in matters of virtue, that these are not the purely athleticized virtues that will later be characteristic of the Stoics, but rather for Aristotle are virtues that we receive only by virtue of good, strong interaction with our relatives, our parents, our peers, our friends. And especially friends, as we go on further in life, will be the source of the nourishing of some of these virtues that hopefully were begun in childhood and in adolescence by the care that our parents gave us. That we must be continued to be drawn out in courage, that we must continue to be as truthful as prudence requires, that we cannot be self-serving and inclined to rationalization in matters of temperance or matters of justice. And one thinks, for instance, of that point that is made on the treatise on justice, that we are so seldom good judges in our own case, but rather we must submit our case to others. And this is the great importance, I think, in any profession, to making sure that there are one's peers with whom one has this mutual regard of esteem for the justice and the virtue that's typical of another's profession, precisely in order to call us to account and summon us to the kind of excellence that our various professions require.